Hi, this is Tom Payne, otherwise known as Jesus from The Walking Dead, and you're listening to The Walking Dead Talk Through.
Hey guys, it's Jenna Elfman from Fear the Walking Dead. I play Laura. No, I play Naomi. No, I play June. I play June on Fear the Walking Dead, and you're listening to the Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through on Talk Through Media.
That was awesome.
Survivors, welcome to episode 62 of Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through. I'm Brian.
And I'm Kyle.
And I'm Mark.
And tonight we will be covering Fear the Walking Dead Season 5, Episode 11. You're still here? I don't think that was the intonation that they intended. But before we get started, we have additional feedback for Season 5, Episode 10, 200 words per minute. So let's play Rick and Simon.
We can talk about it.
We're done talking. Time to listen.
Our friend, Erin from the internet. All right, she starts off. I listened to Diana's comments from this week's Aim for the Head podcast episode. Thanks for the heads up, and I agree. She explained things well with a thumbs up. So I'll just say, yes, thank you I'm happy that you were able to listen to that, Erin, and thank you, Diana, for your comments that I thought were very insightful. And I think she might be talking about us this week. So anyway, she continues, or should I say Erin continues, we will probably never know the full truth of the decision to have Madison go. Yeah. Well, I think we will at some point when there's like the version of Chaos on the Bridge or something like that. And if you don't understand that reference, there was a documentary hosted by Shatner where they talk about the beginnings of Star Trek The Next Generation, which, of course, he wasn't on. But I say that for non-Trekkies. But anyway, it had a very labored beginning, and the first couple seasons of the show were kind of chaotic. So I wouldn't be surprised if someday there might be a Walking Dead documentary about probably about both shows. And, 20 years from now, we'll finally hear the dirt. So anyway, continuing that, she says it was the wrong decision. Well, most people would agree with that, at least that watch the show at this point. It could be focus groups only, as you say, Brian, or it could be a little bit of A and a little bit of B. That's kind of funny, given what Logan said, and I think she wrote that before she saw that.
Saw it.
Yeah. In which, if Gimple wasn't behind it, he didn't fight the choice, so that didn't help. Whereas maybe Dave Erickson would have, and you see Season 4 with the split of Morgan is still there, but you also have a B plot with Madison on her own post-stadium, so they can tease a reunion. She would be like the Daniel of this season, in and out of episodes, so there's a middle ground in a sense. It's just the way Gimple and company responded to fan backlash on it that I think he was involved in some form, because he easily could have said he wanted her around and make it feel like he fought for her, but that's not the vibe that came across. So I kind of think, again, he was involved to some degree. He may not have pulled the trigger himself, as it were, but he wasn't trying to stop the firing either. You know, I would say, as his new role as, like, you know, overseer of the Walking Dead universe, I would say he was most certainly involved in that decision.
Yeah.
And so I, you know, it could have come from studio, you know, big wigs or whatever, like, you know, budgetary changes or whatnot. But you know, for that matter, I mean, they brought in some fairly well-known actors, so I can't imagine that it was really, like, her salary couldn't have been that high.
Yeah.
You know? So, anyway, who knows? That's it for my section. So, Kyle, you want to take over?
Yep. And she continues, maybe post-series, someone will come out about it, but I kind of think even if they do, of course, someone is going to come out and try and protect their name if they're involved. So you'll never know the full truth because of the emotions involved. And again, it's sadly, it doesn't change the fact that she's no longer there. So just a bad move, in my opinion. She quote, a merry-go-round romance for sure. How is there no rimshot sound effect for that? Well done, Glynis. And she goes, I'm definitely enjoying Dwight more than Morgan. I couldn't agree more. And Madison's still on, and Dwight instead of Morgan. I'll take that season, Brian, especially if she gets to keep Al and the others also. It would be hard to be worse than the season four, especially 4B we got, so bring it on.
Yeah, season four, if you recall, it started out pretty strong. Like,
yeah,
the first five episodes were great, I thought.
Yeah.
But if you recall, like, the last episode of the first half that I was able to participate on, episode six, that's when I started feeling like the storytelling method was really starting to suffer. And, you know, the questions about Madison's whereabouts in the present tense, it was, you know, really starting to cause some issues. And I remember I was also really annoyed with June, who was Naomi / Laura at the time. But, you know, how they constantly avoided where she was, and, you know, like, it wasn't a question of them not answering the question. They didn't even ask the question.
Yeah.
And that's where I started getting really annoyed, and it all went downhill from there. And, you know, and there have been, you know, isolated episodes that have been really good, but I don't think that it has like, just, you know, as I was telling you guys off recording, that, you know, I've been kind of working behind the scenes on the website, and kind of how can I put it, trying to link the old with the new, our old website to the new website, and reliving kind of, in a way, as I'm like doing this stuff, the episodes that were going on, and just reading the little synopses from season three and remembering just, you know, how good that season was. And, you know, then, and even going back to the first, you know, five or six episodes of season four, and then it all started falling apart. And then we had the hurricane.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
That's all I wanted to say about that.
All right, Mark.
Well, she continues on saying, again, they just totally mishandled Morgan coming onto the series. I feel if you believe he should even be there to start with. I get Morgan to a degree not jumping on dating Grace because he did tell Al last week he doesn't know how to say goodbye to his family yet, but still he just could just have said that instead of lying to her, she might have actually accepted that and waited for him, but now it's like, hope he moves on because she doesn't need that. Maybe they can put her with Alicia as the Talking Dead episode teased after their comeback special. The actress is up for it. It would interfere with my Al-Alicia pairing, though, which I'm not for it. It can be a middle ground relationship for both before Alicia gets with Althea, then, and Grace gets with someone who won't slam the brakes like Morgan did here. Smiley face. Kyle's hate for the improper use of batteries and fuel never gets old. Big smiley face. And that's a big smiley face.
Thank you. Wow.
I agree. Because, you know, let's face it, the use of batteries and gasoline in this Walking Dead universe is not exactly realistic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know, I've left a lawnmower with gasoline in it over the winter, and it's not very good.
No. Takes forever to start.
Yeah. And, you know, multiply that by multiple winters and, yeah. So
yeah.
Cars will not start. They would have stopped starting, you know, years before they actually stopped in this. So without like fuel additive. But anyway, so I agree, but I let Kyle kind of take that.
And I might have a new one later.
Ooh, a new one. Okay. I wait with bated breath. And another thing. Wow. Points to Mark for knowing the iPod generations just by a quick look. It reminds me of something that I used to be when I was a kid. The neighbors used to sit me. We used to. This is an aside. Okay. This is optional. Maybe we'll leave this and maybe we won't. When I was a little kid, I have sort of a trick photographic memory. It's not a true photographic memory, but I can remember. I've got a really good memory anyway. And I used to be able to, when I was a kid, identify cars just by sight, right? So, So my neighbors, we used to live like very close to one of the main thoroughfares in my hometown. And, you know, there'd be lots of cars going by. And they'd sit me on the porch and they'd say, "Brian, what kind of car is that?" And I'd be, "Oh, that's a 1966 Oldsmobile Delta 88 with." And I was four.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's great. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. They'd even go back and like look it up and I'd be right. I don't know why I was that way, but obviously I never really made any money knowing cars, but I think it was easier back then because the cars used to subtly change from year to year. So you could like pinpoint exactly like, you know,
like the
year of the car that when it was made. But yeah, I used to know all that stuff when I was four.
That's crazy. That's awesome.
Yeah. Anyway.
Well, to let Aaron know, I actually have a third generation iPod. So it's an 80 gig. And that was the last that you would get. The fourth generation really is pretty much the same, but it's funny because you could actually tell the first and second degree generations. So it's pretty easy to really pinpoint where they are. So, well, it's not really 100% effective, but thank you for pointing that out.
But anyway.
Yeah.
And I had to tout my photographic car memory. Anyway.
Well, I do still have a Zune. So.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, my God.
And it still works.
Really?
Does it even work? Yeah.
And it works.
And it's worth saying, this is the kind of stuff we would not be allowed to post on our old work. Here, we can go off tangent if we want to and not expect to be chastised about it.
We're having fun. That's the whole point.
Exactly. Anyway, so a little inside baseball, but anyway, we do the podcast the way we want to do it from now on. Damn it.
Yep.
A mall would be pretty cool, as depending on how many are in your crew, everyone can almost have their own home via a store. like the not GNC. It could be for someone single, as it looked kind of small. And the not Mattress Center store where Grace woke up could be like Command Central because it's huge. You have plumbing already, equipment for cooking, a med bay, and supplies, and you don't have to relocate. But the downside is you are statically located, so it's easy to find you. Also, you have to up your filtration system because if not, then you're trapped inside a box, basically, if someone else attacks that way. The theme, though, is nowhere is safe, and you always have to be on the move. Thus, you are The Walking Dead on these series. But realistically, yeah, it's a decent base for a while. You have plenty of parking, and the roof gives you good visibility without building extra towers to draw attention to yourself. I'm sure even if they let them rest in the place for a season, someone would mess it up somehow because drama, again, happiness is not obtainable, it seems, on these series, even though that would be a theme twist which keeps the genre fresh. And of course, you know, malls were a very early environment, you know, because Dawn of the Dead, of course, had that. And the big downside of malls is many different access points, you know. So if you could close them all off, and I heard somebody say something like a Costco would be the perfect place because there's like limited access points, limited places to enter and leave, no windows, stuff like that, versus like a mall, which, you know, has 15,000 different entrances. Anyway, yeah. So, but the other thing that I think about with something like that is waste disposal. And I only ever remember one time when they covered this in the universe, and that was in the prison. Season 3, episode 2, Sick, I think, when those guys from the prison, they go into that one room where they've been, you know.
Yeah, like doing their business.
Peeing and pooping, yeah. And the reaction when Rick opens it up. Because I imagine that would be commonplace. There'd be stinky places all over the place.
Yeah, yeah.
For sure. Yeah, because no more sanitation, no more, you know, sewage or sewer system is working anymore. Anyway. All right.
Well, she continues on and says, maybe the gas fields are too far from the mall to protect long term, so they need to be closer. I get it sucks to be hit with morality, especially if you aren't a great person, but just logically, she should find out because, say, she did get with Morgan, what happens if she dies while with him and now he has to kill another loved one? He's not going to take that well. That's agreed, and I almost kind of feel like, though, that Morgan, I feel like he's had time to get over it and enough therapy, but I don't know.
Yeah, he does seem to be holding on to that for dear life.
Yeah,
compared to
or at least the show is having that one kind of central issue affecting him so pronounced almost at every given second. And I think we talk about it a little bit later. But she continues, what if you get sick at the camp and turn? I'm not saying she has to throw away her last days being a bullet sponge for the team if she finds out she only has a month left, but it would be helpful for her to tell, say, June, that in the last week, maybe you want to lock her up or give her something that puts her in a coma so she just goes to sleep, and then June can kill her so she doesn't turn, and then she tells the group because Grace didn't want them to look at her with pity. You get the best of both situations there. You get days still, but you also have a in case I turn buddy. Of course, everyone is different, so mentally maybe Grace couldn't take that, and had she found out, she would have killed herself faster because she's sad. It's a tough situation, but if you're 80% sure she acts something is going on, then you need to tell someone because, again, you're putting people in danger if you turn in a group. It would be some good character stuff if they did tackle this plot to see people confront this Are you an end it now type or a go until the end type? And how do you execute that your choice visually? And I think I kind of mentioned that last episode too, because it's just like, you know, why wouldn't you want to know? And, you know, this is a good point from Aaron. It's like, well, wouldn't just knowing and having an idea about how long you have left, maybe that's kind of is a safety mechanism for your group. And not that you like, oh, I just need to step over here. Or like in the prison on The Walking Dead when, Four Eyes got, you know, wasn't feeling well and he goes down to the bathroom and then dies in the middle of the night. And no one, of course, you know, saw him. And then he comes popping up and starts munching on people. So, I mean, yeah, it's a good point. I feel like that would be something that everybody would want to know just so that they could, hey, are you doing okay? Okay. Well, here's the game plan. Comes lay down, you know, we'll just take care of you. And
yeah, pretty
you
know, much always check
you know,
your six.
You get better, you know, or whatnot.
Check your six. Yeah.
We've just seen that happen already. So it's kind of, yeah, don't take that risk. Or Carol will kill you.
Not anymore, apparently, yeah. So because she's the queen.
Yeah.
But, well, we continue on and say, if you were to go to the end type, do you go on field missions constantly because what do you have to lose? Do you only do solo exploration in buildings in case you turn to keep distance from others, or do you go with someone? Well, I would think probably go with somebody, but you always have to check yourself. Hoping they can stop you if you turn, but you also want to give them backup if they need it. Do you stay at the base trying to maximize your last days the best you can, but always cautious with people? How do you handle others treating you differently because you know someone will? Do you stay on the outskirts of the compound just in case you turn, or are you allowed to stay with people but just locked up? You know, that is a good question. It's like you feel that you're being trapped, but you want to help, but you're stuck in this position. But giving that information to others is only going to lead you to being trapped. That is so hard. So in this apocalypse, it's so amazing that they have to question themselves where they're going, what they're doing. If I get bit, what happens to me if I get sick? What do I do? These are a lot of good questions that are coming up, and I like this. So I don't know about you guys, but this is something that is always brought up in other conversations in The Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. It's good. I mean, it's good that we're getting to see this, and you know, we'll see how. I guess we'll see how they choose to play this, because we know Grace is. I guess we don't know, but
we don't know where she's at or where Alicia's at.
Right.
So we don't know exactly where their mindset is. They're thinking they're dead at some point. I think Alicia is hiding it, whereas Grace is pretty much
kind of accepted it, but.
Accepted it. Exactly. And now it's like, what do we do? So Morgan leaving, you know, that was like more of a social choice and a conscious choice in his mind based upon his past with his wife and what he had went through. Whereas with Alicia, she still loves, the idea of Strand. Everybody else is holding on to that theory, but she's afraid of putting people in danger. Maybe that's why she was holding back from killing things.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And thinking that she and herself is dead herself. I, you know, these are things that are rattling around in my head, but who knows? But, you know, I love the idea that, you know, the writers are leaving things a lot vague, but that's the problem is that a lot of people like things handed to them, scripted out, and
where's my reasons? You know,
Exactly. Yeah, the blank spaces is what people are upset about, and you know that. And Brian, I know you. It's driving you nuts.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I get it more now than I did after this episode, but it's not so much that, and we'll get into this in a few minutes, but this is a retread, you know? It's like replace Alicia with Carol, replace people with dead people, and essentially you get, you know, the same type of thing. It's season six, latter half of season six of Carol all over again, you know? And that's where I kind of like, it's like, not this again, not the, you know, tortured female hero who's unable to do what she needs to do. You know, it's tiresome.
So basically you're saying that what Robin Williams stated once about, hey, under redundant, see redundant? Because pretty much that's exactly what's going on. They're yeah, basically saying the same thing over and over again.
Yeah, it's – well, and the main show has had this problem a lot. But my tendency is that this could have manifested itself differently and it would have felt more fresh than it does. To me, it's kind of it's old, and I think the main problem with it is that they mislabeled it. Like, essentially, I think her problem stems from the blood, the radioactive blood, you know, that got on her. I think that's where it came from.
It stemmed from that. Yeah.
And you know, we see that better in this episode, but it's still like the way that they've told it is so similar to what happened to Carol in the main show. And yes, that's a different show. So, you know, maybe we shouldn't, maybe it's not fair to judge it that way, but hell, we do that with Star Trek stuff all the time.
Yeah.
You know, so it's derivative is what I'm trying to say. And if they had focused more on the radioactivity part and that freaking her out, maybe like certain types of zombies that look nasty, maybe freak her out.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
That would have worked. Yeah. But just making her unable to kill, I don't think works at all.
Yeah. No, I think it's just the approach that they're doing, because it's like, it's just, you're left as a viewer to just kind of like, I guess, guess a like, I guess it's assuming that, but like they could easily have just made quick little flashback of the blood, which they do eventually. Yeah. But it's that would have helped being like, oh, okay, that's what's assuming. I can understand then why she's saying the things that she's saying. But it's just like, we just come into the next episode, like this episode, and it's just like, oh, it's just there. And you're like, okay, so she's just, something's wrong with her. And
it's just, it's an execution problem. Like they had the essence at the start of this episode. Yeah, we're a little ahead of ourselves, but we're, to hell with it, we're going with it at this point. The first walker that we see in the cold open and the way that they kind of disintegrated, that was really cool. That should have freaked her out, because that would have reminded her of the radioactive walkers that she experienced. That's what it should have done. But instead, it was just the fact that they were walkers. And that's where, you know, I think they're failing. It's like I say, it's an execution. If they just changed it just a little bit, it would work.
Yeah.
But this making her afraid to kill at all, I think is not the right way that they should be dealing with this. So anyway, I've kind of kind of gotten more into weak and what early on. But how much more do we have of Aaron here? Because I kind of lost track of where we were.
Just a little bit more, and I'll finish it up. Well, she continues on saying, if you're an end-it-now person, do you go out in a hail of bullets in the next battle, as it were, or do you go off and take care of things? Do you have someone else to do it for you? If so, how does that play on them? There's a lot they could explore emotionally, but the question is always, will they? Which is a good question. But I think with the group that they have, they will, because they care for each other. That's the whole thing. You see Strand, you see Alicia, you see June, you see John, you see, you know, Daniel, and all of them. They're all a collective. I'm not saying a Borg collective, but but they are a collective of people that are individuals. And I'm not saying Seven of Nine. Sorry, I keep using Star Trek references, but regardless. But they are individuals, and they do care about one another, and they will. And that's the whole thing. That's the whole driven force of this whole
Mark,
show.
Mark, we'll have you on Picard when the time comes.
Oh, yes. I know that. But I'm sure, Brian, you have ideas and thoughts, too, regarding that.
I guess it kind of is. I think, you know, it's again, PTSD, her not really understanding, her motivations, I guess. She kind of lost sight of it. And I think in the end, you know, I think, and again, we're getting into this episode, but it's appropriate, I think. In this episode, I think she was trying to find the person that was writing on the trees for meaning, and she wasn't going to get the meaning from somebody else. She had to get that meaning from herself. And I think that's where she ends up getting it. But she lost her way a little bit, and although she wants to help people, I think she lost the why, you know?
Yeah.
Well, all she had to do is look at her arm where her boyfriend drew that tattoo. And he brought that up in the first season. Do you remember?
Yes.
So that was pretty much like a symbol for what she needed to do for herself, but she didn't take that as such.
Yeah. And a lot of times people just don't, they don't do that right away.
They don't see the writing on the wall or the writing on their arm in her case.
They don't, they try to ascribe meaning to other people, but they don't like take it in for themselves.
Yeah.
And that's very common, both in literature and just like, I think in general, the things that people do, you know, that's why sometimes like a psychiatrist is one of the most messed up people, you know, but they're good at, you know, helping other people like work through their, you know, psychiatric issues, but they're not good at working their own, you know, and I'm not thinking of anyone in particular, just in general. All right.
Well, she continues on saying, is Kyle going to rage? If so, will he be reckless attack or a totem of, this is not how gas works, attack? Roll to resist questionable writing. Smiley face.
Yes. Kyle can't consistently does.
That's not true. That's impossible.
But I do roll to resist questionable writings. And so sometimes that's what I roll.
Yep.
Don't roll a D12. Okay. If it's like that, damn, it'll just never be talked about again, because this show very much employs the what damn approach.
Not sure that's the inflection she was going for.
Well, that's how I read it, so that's how you get it.
Yep.
So she continues on saying, this dude is totally going to come back to bite Dwight.
Yep. Well, we'll see. Yeah, we'll see. Redneck. Is he going to?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
I'm sure.
All right. We're finally done after a few tangents that I even took myself. So, but anyway, Aaron, I'll just say thank you for your insightful post. And, you know, obviously, we were able to work a lot of it into this coming episode. So, again, thank you. All right. So let's, well, we've already been talking about this episode, but formally starting at season 5, episode 11, You're Still Here. And hopefully you are still here. It's written by Mallory Westfall and Alex Delisle. Now, they are both staff writers on Fear the Walking Dead. Mallory Westfall is executive story editor, and she came on for season 5. She wrote season 5, episode 6, The Little Prince. Alex Delisle, this is her second season on the show. She is a story editor, and she has written, besides this episode, The Hurt That Will Happen, which was episode 2 of this season 5. And then season 4, episode 11, an episode that I did not like, The Code, and season 4, episode 4, Buried. And that is the episode after Nick dies. So, and of course, The Code, that's the one where Morgan falls asleep in the back of a truck and wakes up in Mississippi. That's why I didn't like it. Anyway, directed by Casey Colwell. And he is, he's been involved with The Walking Dead, actually going back as far as season 1. And it seems like he wasn't like with the show full time, because checking his credits on IMDb, although he was, I think, involved on all of the episodes of season 1, he's been kind of off and on since, but he has credits going back, I think, from season 4 on this show. And he is a first assistant director normally on, and like I say, he's been that position on both The Walking Dead and Fear the Walking Dead. And this is his first time directing either show. So as not just an assistant or first assistant, but actual director. So, but his career goes back about 20 years. So he's been, somebody with a lot of experience, but I think this is his first time directing. So cool. Description is, as Alicia struggles to find her new role in the convoy, she's drawn to mysterious artwork. A simple scouting trip is derailed when she and Strand are thrust into a conflict between desperate survivors. Meanwhile, Morgan and Al hit a roadblock. Probably could have used that 3 times in that description. All right, Mark, what did you think of You're Still Here? Assuming you are still here.
Hold on. I got to check. Hold on. Yeah, I'm still here. Okay. I give it 7.5 out of 10. Logan can't use a, he can't use a door. What the hell? Because he pulled the door out of the bank.
Yeah. I gave it a 7-ish Morgan short stick walker miss. Like, seriously, he fell on the ground after that. Out of 10.
I agree with Al, by the way. I think he really does need to replace that, that stick. It's too short.
I just had the Homer Simpson. Don't.
I was vacillating between 7.5 and an 8 on this one. Like I'd watch it and say, that's a 7.5. Then I'd watch it again. That's an 8. Or I'd be thinking about it and, oh, that's an 8. And then, oh, that's a 7.5. So finally I just decided to cut the difference and give it a 7.75. Damn good manuscripts that are worth dying for.
What?
Yeah.
There were things about this episode that I loved, things that I hated, and there's some other things that we'll be talking about that just made me shrug or scratch my head going, wait, what? Huh?
Yeah.
Manuscripts may fall into that, but anyway, that's a little teaser. All right, we got some other ratings from people.
Well, Steve from Oklahoma gives it 9 out of 10 eaters chewing on large dead animal.
And Dieta from Detroit gave it a 7 out of 10. I don't understand this show anymore. And then I guess whatever, like emoji. She said, I agree with you, Kyle, how the walker's sneaking up on them. The ones in this episode were extra noisy, growly, very loud, and tear face.
Glynis from Toronto, she doesn't look like she liked this episode too much. She gave it 6 out of 10. The writing's on the tree.
Good.
And LT from NC says 8 out of 10 book swiping crazy beard Rick Grimes lookalikes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I noticed that myself. All right. So let's move on to Awesome Sauce.
Awesome Sauce!
Well, Steve from Oklahoma says Strand standing your Alicia no matter how difficult.
Mm-hmm. And Glenn from Toronto says, Alicia, you're not gone until you're gone. Tree tribute to her mom and the Emily Bird signal from her and Nick's childhood story that was on Al's tape of Madison.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. This was one of my awesome sauces. Even though the episode wasn't the best, I did enjoy all the callbacks to Madison because we've been getting that a lot this season, but it's just nice to see her, I guess, lasting legacy on Alicia and the rest of the group. She's still making little, influences on some of these characters.
Yeah. Dieta from Detroit says, Morgan getting in Logan's face. Finally, some action. All right. So that's it for listeners' awesome sauce. Let's move on to our own awesome sauce. Mark, what do you have?
Well, the fact that Wes was different pretty much to our group, the characters we know, he sees the world in one way, whereas Alicia and Strand see the world in another way. They are, Strand and Alicia are pretty much optimistic, whereas Wes is a bit in between. Something we haven't seen in a long time in both shows. It used to be Strand at one time where he was always in between. Now he has changed because he's found a family. Now we found somebody who Wes actually did this little thing when he talked to Logan where he did the little hand wave either way. And that's literally what the character is either way. He could go good or bad. And that's what I got out of the previous episode before this one. So I'm really intrigued about the character. And the fact that the actor is fresh and new, it makes this such really an intriguing story for the character and the actor himself. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's nice to see this other kind of aside that we've already, have seen in some of our characters way back when, but also just in general over the overall world. I mean, it's he's just trying to survive and our group is trying to bring people in to give them hope and be like, hey, there's more out there. And it's fun to see that finally.
Yeah, exactly. It's a fresh start or it's a re-envisioning of the shows themselves. It's there's still people out there that feel this way and they're all not either A or
they're
B.
Not on anybody's side, like in exactly. A sense of like on the good guy side, our side, or the bad guy side, like Logan and group. It's
so he's Eugene.
Yeah, and then we'll see who does he. Maybe he does. We see where he comes around. And
I don't know. I tend to think that we've seen a lot of characters like this in the past. Just the fact that he is like this at this time on this show makes him a stark contrast from, yeah, you know, some of the other characters on this show. But like, we've definitely seen characters like this on The Walking Dead, you know, and many of our main characters have had certain aspects of this. Even Rick, you know, has had this at times. Like, even at the time when they first arrived at Alexandria, I think that there's some similarities in how he's dealing with things versus how Rick and the gang were dealing with things at that time, or just before they arrived at Alexandria, you know, post cannibals.
Yeah.
So,
well, the difference between that and this is that with that show, we pretty much saw everything through Rick's eyes and his journey, but we don't know this person from a hole in a wall because they just show up out of nowhere.
And he's a solo, like he's a rogue, not, you know, we've seen this kind of attitude, but with other people. And it like what I'm saying is
like a claimer.
Well, yeah, that's not what I meant though. I was thinking more of he's like the group was before they arrived at Alexandria. Like they were very, like if you think about the episode Them, when Sasha shoots the dogs, you know, that was a very pragmatic type of existence at the time, that, you know, they were just trying to survive, but they were still a group. Whereas this guy is very much a solo. Yeah. So that's what makes him different, I guess. He's just out there for himself and
has survived
on his. Yeah. Well, at some point, the thing that makes me wonder at this point, and I don't know I can't think that it was his brother that caused this turn on him, because he must have been writing after his brother died, right?
Yeah.
Because he said, unless he was lying about the fact that his brother died early on, right? I mean, if he's lying about that, then yes, it could be that. But if he's telling the truth that he died early on, something happened to this guy that turned him into this, unless those trees were, maybe those trees were drawn pre-apocalypse. I can't see that. There's too many of them. So it had to have been something he did post-apocalypse, but something turned him into this cynical, out for yourself, kind of guy that he is. And, certainly not the guy anymore that wrote this manuscript, although, well, we'll get into that later, but anyway. Okay.
All right.
What do you got?
All right. Yeah. My awesome sauce was just like, you know, another first walkers that we see, like, you know, there always seems to be this, they seem to be doing this a lot where it's like our very first walker in the very, you know, the cold open or whatever. And I'll call him the Vine Walker. it was just a really cool effect seeing him kind of like tear himself apart. And then eventually, like, you know, cause he's all, vined up that he like splits in half. It's like, feel like they're like having fun with the walkers this season, cause we're seeing a lot of like these really interesting and fun like makeups and just like effects, and then just, you know, cool walkers that we haven't really seen before. And my next awesome sauce is someone, Wes, doesn't get a headshot every time they shoot at a walker. Like, finally seeing, like, someone not just pulling off, like, oh yeah, we're just gonna take, I can just take out every walker I see with a headshot. Like, I just felt really good to see that.
All right. Well, I had a couple of awesome sauce myself. The tree shot that begins the episode, I thought it was really cool to see the tree from that vantage point. I don't know if I've ever seen a shot like that, like maybe not on either series. It's, you know, like it really cool. Kind of an organic, you know, like thing. And I just really liked that first shot. The riot gear and tear gas. I liked the use of, like, what was it that Wes shot at the guy? It almost looked like a, like, salt or something. Like some kind of, it wasn't a bullet.
No.
It was enough to pierce his head, but it wasn't like a regular bullet. But then, of course, Strand and the tear gas. I loved it for some reason. I thought it was original, like something we should have seen at this point, but hadn't. And, you know, especially coming into a police station of fictional Latham, Texas. I looked it up. There is no Latham, Texas, by the way. I thought that was original. And, you know, like I said, you're expecting, you know, like, to pull out big. Some big, yeah, all artillery. And instead it ends up being, you know, riot gear stuff. Tear gas. It was like,
oh yes.
I was like, what just happened there? And then, of course, you know, when and it was weird, Strand's reaction to it. Like, you would have thought that he would have, like, tried to run away, but he didn't right away.
I know.
That was not awesome, weak, possibly slightly what, but I had other what's. But anyway, I really like that part. Yeah. So let's move on to the weak variety of sauce.
You're worthless and weak.
Twisted Sister. Been thinking about that quite a bit because I've been working with a guy at work whose last name is Snyder.
Nice.
So, although I think it's a different spelling. Anyway, so we got some weak sauce from our listeners. Mark, why don't you start it off?
Well, Glennis from Toronto says, this episode's reasoning did not make much sense. Wes just leaving his manuscript after all that effort of getting it back, leaving his sidecar with the group to... Alicia is now suddenly recovered from the PTSD of not wanting to kill walkers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Next is Dieta from Detroit. She says, Alicia not killing? What happened to her that she's screaming for Strand every time a walker comes around instead of killing it?
Exactly. Which, like I said, I think we talked about that earlier. I think we, you know, came up with a collective reason for it, but it's still a weak reason. So I support the weak sauce variety here. Steve from Oklahoma has a couple of weak sauces. Alicia sounding like a child every time she yelled, Strand! Just once I wanted her to yell, Shane, by mistake.
It sounds funny. Like Lori Holden at that point. Yeah. She did that.
Yeah. All the telling instead of showing in the episode. And I know Steve talks more about this in his voicemail. And once he does, I will have something to say about it because there was actually some nice tie-ins here to the Althea tapes, which we'll get into later.
Yeah.
So, all right, Mark, what do you have for weak sauce?
Well, I found it weak that beanbag shots from the right guns do not penetrate the Zeds as they should, since they have no substance to their heads now. Come on, their heads would just explode or cave in due to the impact, thus making them to, you know, stop in their tracks. It's ridiculous. It's like they're able to easily put a knife into somebody who is freshly dead easily. We've seen instances with the Zeds where they impacted easily or with a sudden blunt force die to the head, but yet a beanbag doesn't really impact enough. Now, mind you, these are riot gears, and they shoot beanbags, and they have a velocity to knock somebody who is pretty much, you know...
brain dead?
Not brain dead.
And why didn't you say beanbag shots when I was specifically asking what that was? Like, sorry. 5 minutes ago. Mark wasn't paying attention to me.
I wasn't paying attention. Sorry. But, yeah, you would think somebody who is standing strong or versatile within their body, as far as where they're standing, they're able to take an impact. And those beanbags are meant to repel those people and push them down. But these beanbags, with that velocity, should go right through these Zeds. It's ridiculous. Yeah.
Well, it did look like the one Zed did die from it, but it was like at really close range, and it looked like the beanbag didn't go through his head, but it was enough to, like, you know, damage the brain, I guess.
I guess, but it's to me, honestly, even if the bullets don't hold enough consistency to launch, but it should have been enough to, like, drop them dead, you know?
Yeah, you'd think so.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'll go on with my weak sauce, and it's just, I mean, even though we kind of discussed it a little bit earlier, which kind of came up with some, you know, new theories, but during the episode, I was like, Alicia and her whatever problem with killing. And then Morgan and his still not able to get over his wife and kids' death. I mean, it's like, how long has it been? And like, how much therapy he's had from everyone he's met? And I was like, dude, let it go. Move on. I'm glad to see, though, that we get to see that he's getting to that point. But I just feel like from once he got onto the show to now, here we are, season 5, you know, it's like, it's been taking a very long time. Then the other thing to come with the riot gear stuff, it's like, while that was kind of cool because it was unexpected, but it's like, but does tear gas really make you like semi-blind for hours? Because like everything that I Googled online just basically suggested that like that would not be the case, and it would last, like, not necessarily blindness, but like eye irritation would last about 10 minutes. And so I just,
that's all.
Yeah. Like, it doesn't make you blind. It just, yeah, you makes your eyes water and burn. But once you're out of it, it takes about probably about 10. That's what everything I read. I mean, Googled the heck out of this, and it was like about, it starts subsiding after about 10 minutes. And so I thought this was very convenient for taking Strand out for, you know, such a long time. Again, who knows truly what the realistic, like, you know, tear gas that's been sitting and not being used for like a year, you know, like all the things you could say, well, oh, maybe it was this. It was not shaken. So
also it's pure, and the fact that he's sweating and his sweat's getting into his eyes. I'm not just trying to justify it, but, you know, with that stuff, it usually, you know, trust me, it happens. You could be there for a couple of hours at least.
I think it probably depends on how much exposure you got. And in the case of Strand, I think he got a pretty good high dose. Yeah, pretty high level exposure. All right. Well, I probably should have chimed in a little bit more about what Glenna said earlier, because I kind of said some of the similar things, but I really focused on the manuscript. So, but here's the thing. There's no really good explanation in this episode about Wes and this guy. Like, where'd this guy come from? Why would he die over the manuscript? And how would he even know about the manuscript? Okay. And is this the only reason he had for stealing Wes's stuff? And I have to say this. It reeks of screenwriters' self-love for the material, some script that they wrote like a few years ago, and how incredible it is, and just a little too emotionally tied to your own material. That's what it seemed like to me, you know. But then, of course, the other thing is Wes, you know, kills the guy over the manuscript and then just leaves it there. Like,
like, oh, it made no sense. And what was the point?
Exactly. That was the thing that I chimed in on, was what exactly was the point there? And I have a little more to say about it actually, in my what sauce, but, I also wondered, like, why did he shoot the guy in the first place? Like, he wasted no time. He literally, like, came right in there. I guess he seemed to know that the guy was in that police station. But he just went in there and, you know, shot him up, wasted no time. So
I just kept getting a thought of like him walking off at the end after that. And when it's like Gandalf, and he like turns around, he's all like, on the third day, look to the west of the setting sun. like his whole thing was just, he's like not really there. And then Alicia like has her epiphany and just, oh, that's that.
Yeah. There's more to say. We're not done talking about this scene here. So there's more to say in our next section, which is called What Sauce?
What?
But first, we have something from Steve.
Well, Steve from Oklahoma says, the manager of the bank told Al the combo to the safe. After the ZA, I guess, so he thought no worries? Then what was a zombie doing holed up in there?
Yeah, that's a question that I've got. Now, it's worth saying, and I recommend that you guys check this out if you already haven't done so.
The YouTubes?
I think they're on YouTube, yeah, but I caught them on AMC.com. The Althea tapes, they're called.
Yeah,
and
yeah. Right, they're now, on YouTube.
Okay. There are six of them that I've seen, at least at this point. I assume there may be more released as the season goes on. But one of the six, I think it's like the fifth one, it's like one of the longest ones, is the one of Clark. And Clark is the bank manager. So we see a whole story with Althea and this guy Clark talking about the, you know, the bank and the vault, and why he was paying so much attention to it. That's worth saying, but like he had the impression of just a little, I don't think it's a big spoiler to say, but he was feeling that people would come back for prized possessions, and he was pretty like tied to that idea. And eventually Althea makes him realize that her stories, like keeping the stories about who people were, is more important than possessions at this point. So he eventually gives her the combination to the safe. But yeah, I wondered about the zombies inside. That did make a lot of sense to me. I had to wonder, but Okay, so we got a whole section of What's Us from LT from NC, and he basically said, I like the episode overall, but most of my comments will fall into the What's Saucy vein. So, Kyle, why don't you start it?
All right. He says, I get that Wes' manuscript was the MacGuffin for a bit of the Strand Alicia story this week, but other than delivering the missing bit of information to fix Alicia's tree painting question, why was the now dead guy willing to steal it? It isn't like there is anyone you can drop a tell-all novel to extort for money nowadays.
and that whole thing is like, how he, you know, it's like, oh, it's really good. Or something like as, I was, you know, just dying words. It. And it's just like, what? Like,
is exactly. It worth the written word really to risk your life? Really? Come on.
I just, that's why I said earlier about it had this like screenwriter's self-love for their material. Cause that's what it just like, no one would actually have that reaction to a manuscript in the apocalypse, like both from the writer, like the guy, you know, Wes and this nondescript, Rick looking guy. It's like, that does not feel real to me, even a little, even like in, you know, a zombie apocalypse. These are not authentic actions for characters to me. So I spent a good part of this episode, especially that last part, that very last scene, I did one of those, there's an animated GIF. I know I put it on the Facebook group a couple times where this guy gives this funny look and you see all these question marks pop up. That was me. During that scene, just like, yeah. Huh?
All of us.
What? It's like the Riddler with the question marks. What? What does this mean? What does this mean?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. He continues. He says, "Cop rant. I guess that Wes grabbed the less than lethal bag out of a supervisor's car. So for the curious, Wes had a shotgun loaded with beanbag rounds, and Strand had the shotgun with the tear gas rounds. Normally speaking, in the real world, the shotguns used for both of these are marked so as to avoid mistakes, as using a real round when you meant to use a specialty round. I suppose that it would give away the hook if Wes would have had a shotgun with fluorescent orange stock, or Strand would have grabbed one that had markings on the side. And for another thing, why did Wes abandon the bag of guns and bullets to run on around back? That's a good question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. At the end there. Well, that whole thing, it was funny too. Something that Alicia said, how, like, oh, we're surrounded or something like that. And then like 2 minutes later, Wes goes around the back. It's like, well, why didn't they all go around the back?
Right.
I have to say, I didn't come up with that one myself. Walking Dead cast. I'm not sure if it was Ben, Lucy or
Jason.
Jason that said it, but one of them said it, and I'll give him kudos for that. Cause yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Well,
Mark.
He continues on saying, as we manage to say it every week, how is it those stumbly walkers manage to pull off the sudden pop out of nowhere thing? Do walkers have cloaking devices? I mean, it's flat open field with a huge amount of line of sight and whammo, ninja walker.
Yeah, especially it when Alicia had her, you know, Strand moment.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. That's so annoying. He continues on saying, speaking of you need a new trope, how many times this season are they going to do the slowly spider cracking glass on the door so the walkers can get in? Which I noticed, you know.
It's I had that.
It's that creepy horror trope of crackling glass, of something creeping in, or something ominous on the other side that's coming through. And I get it, yeah.
Yeah. There was like nothing physically that you could tell of why the glass was cracking. The walker wasn't even touching the glass at that point. And right. It was just like, oh, it's just somehow going to give. Was the wind blowing really hard?
Yes.
I don't know.
Yeah, well, they,
it was windy.
Yeah. You know, with Shaun of the Dead, they actually just alluded with it. He turns on the light and he goes, oh. And then he turns off the light and he walks away. But with this, they have to do the crackling thing. Yep. Yeah, it is what it is.
Yep.
So he says, Morgan, just get a longer stick, man. Come on. You can't do all these cool moves with a stubby stick. And I've said that. They're wheedling down that stick down to a toothpick at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just thought it was like, why hasn't he been able to compensate for that? But
yeah, compensate for what?
A shorter stick. He's a short stick man. All right. Well, he continues the tapes. I had the feeling if they stash the tape somewhere, someone might find them. I'm still trying to suss out how Logan found the bank. And I'm calling shenanigans on pulling the door off with chains and a truck. However, now we get to see what kind of price our heroes will face by spilling their guts on tape and laying out all those details in a format where Logan and company can see them. And yes, Logan's tape that he grabbed, you know, at the very end was Morgan's tape.
And you would think that a safe like that or, you know, a vault would not be susceptible to just pulling out the door, like even with a semi,
it would be
built
like
to withstand that.
Yeah, and, or like you would really have to somehow get into maybe the wall was crumbled around it, and you could latch something onto it. But then we don't know that. It's like it's a safe. Like they're, yeah. I was just like, oh, of course. Like he knew where to go for one. Like knew about the safe and. You know,
yeah,
it just convenient.
Well, I had a similar reaction. Like, yeah, how did he find that? Like, because I don't think that was on any tape.
Or, yeah, he doesn't have the tapes until then. As far
right,
as I know.
Right. So, like, I don't know. Did he, is that guy Clark one of his guys now? And if he is, what happened to him? Like, how did he, I don't know. Was he one of the people that had stuff in the safe? I don't know. I doubt that.
Yeah.
One more thing he had, he says, why does Logan's quote, it is going to help people, just not in the way you're going to like, strike me as very Negan-ish. Despite all the other things this episode, I'm waiting to see how this bit plays out. We had one more bit of what's us, and I don't know if this is LTs or not. Something got screwed up in the translation from like Facebook/ written feedback to the document. So I don't know. This may be LTs. I couldn't attribute it to him. It could have been one of the other people. But anyway, this is somebody's. And this, we've concluded it's not us either. What is with this sudden change in Alicia? Really? This one guy did all that? I don't think Wes was needed for her change in thought on living. So silly and stupid. I equate it with bad writing because honestly, way too soon, way too fast. This had to be a buildup over time, but they kind of did that too soon change. As with Nick as well. So don't know where that came from. Can't figure it out.
If you're listening, let us know.
Yeah. Correct. Sorry about that. But anyway, you got your feedback read. We just don't know who you are. All right. Mark, what do you have for what sauce?
My what's-us would be, why would Wes run outside of the sheriff's office by himself alone where it's safe? Why not take Strand and Alicia? He ran around the building to distract his Zeds to help Alicia and Strand before, you know, leave the front exit. The exit he made was the best for all of, if you think about it, you know, it's like, if he got out safely, why didn't he take those two? Why is he just, you know, to me, it just makes no sense. No. It's like, if you found the right exit, take the two people, especially Strand, who's blind, and Alicia, who can't fight, take them with you and then go and just run. I just don't understand it. It just made no sense. Ben brought that up too in a previous podcast, but honestly, I was thinking that all along too when I was watching the show and going, wait a minute. He ran around the back to distract them so they could go out the front.
Yeah.
But,
but where did he go? Like, how?
Wait, that doesn't make sense. It's like, hold on. Is he Sean and Shaun of the Dead? I gave them the slip. You know? Yeah. It just made no sense.
Yep. All right. My what sauce is like, Strand, you really left the keys in the truck when that guy ran away and then he stole it. Just thought you would always keep your keys with you.
Yeah. I mean, then again, they probably are a little, not so much used to them, doing that anymore.
I probably would.
Walkers aren't going to come by and steal the truck. So I guess, but yes, I agree.
I think it'd be habit. I would always have the keys with me.
So I had a few what sauces here, and some I've kind of alluded to already, but this turn of Wes, that he's the person who has been writing on these trees, but what turned him into this cynical guy from the guy who wrote on the trees?
All the bad people that he encountered throughout that time, between the time he wrote the novel till now,
I guess, maybe, but that's not very well explained.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Well, they could always explain that later because he's still with them.
Yeah. But I maybe this will be explained in a future episode, but I'm just shaking my head over that. This is.
Maybe it's a character that was needed for the show, and for somebody to exit, maybe Luciana. I don't know.
If that were true, why was she not? Anyway.
Well, you never know.
Why would Wes want that bike after it's been shot up like that? Like, I would think that it wouldn't be worth trying to fix at this point. Unless he
thought it could be fixed. But yeah, I mean. Yeah.
Has Logan gotten mixed up with the same people Isabel were with from the end of everything? The same people with the helicopter that took Rick? Yeah, so there was a clue there, specifically when Logan mentioned something about, like, you know, this is bigger than you, and, you know, how you may not like it. There's this look, brief, like split second look on Al. And that made me think, yeah, this has got to be related to those people.
Yeah.
Now, why would he have gotten mixed up with them though, or how? That's a question. And for that matter, like, okay, so if this is bigger than, you know, whatever, why is it something they're not going to like? Is it because essentially those people would kill over, you know, like, it's so, that whole thing is so strange, but I have to figure that it's related.
Yeah.
Don't you?
Yeah. That's basically how I got from his little speech. And I mean, I guess in a sense, we kind of know that, this group, I guess, you know, like they're not out for saving other people. So maybe Logan has struck some kind of deal to save his own life, saying, oh, I know where gas is, you know, like, or whatever the, you know, the oil field are. And he's using that to save his own skin. But yeah, then it's like, that means Morgan and our group and everybody else are expendable, and that, you know, if this group gets what they want, you know, who the people with the guns, maybe they're part of the other team, you know, that is out there, with, what's her face?
Whatever. Maybe it's, and we haven't heard this mentioned yet. Maybe that is, how he defines whether he is an A or a B.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
it's very true.
Something that still hasn't come up yet on this show, but, maybe that is the tie-in, you know, but yeah.
Well, hopefully, you know, maybe that one person that Al had encountered with, we'll see it towards the end, will say something as of an A or a B. And then it's a complete tie-in to the Garbage Pail people.
Mm-hmm. Ouch.
With what's her name?
Yeah, Jadis.
Jadis, yeah.
Slash Anne.
That'll tie into that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. That it's...
Yeah, it's going to all tie in to the movie. So I have a funny feeling this is their way to tie in everything.
Right. I think we're all in agreement with that it's essentially tying in, but it just, he doesn't, based on what we see with Isabel, Logan doesn't seem to fit that kind of, like, we're not seeing some super organized with special,
you mean Logan?
What did I say?
Well, he has special needs because he needs to get the gas. So,
well, okay, yeah. I don't. what did I say? Morgan?
Yeah, you said Morgan.
I meant Logan. Yeah.
Logan.
Yeah, Logan. He doesn't seem to like fit into this, you know, like special Kevlar uniform type of garb that we see Isabel wearing, and you know, super organized and super prepared that we see there. But we could certainly understand if they're the ones that want gasoline. But, you know, it's like, I would have to think that there are a lot of oil refineries in Texas.
Yeah.
So if he can't find that one, why can't he just take his people and try to get another one started?
Maybe because he doesn't know how, you know, like he knows that Clayton had, and obviously we are know that there is this oil field or this refinery that is up and running and working.
And it's purified.
Or it's just, well, like Clayton might have had the people and the whatever and got that started, but then left Logan out of it, or and Logan either wasn't a part of it. I'm just kind of guesstimating that he has no idea how to do this. He knows where there's a place being made, and that's apparently, I guess, you know, because this other group that he's with are not his friends, and I don't know if they're even a part of the Three Ring Circus, because they, you know, obviously aren't wearing all the gear, but they have the guns. So, you know, so it is, it's everything is leading towards this group. And I mean, even the moment when, like, it was kind of part of what I was going to say too, was like, you know, we also heard Al when they were in the safe and Morgan was all like asking her, is like, was this all is this all necessary? It's like, who's going to actually watch these tapes after we're gone? And then she was like, oh, there will. And then she smiles. And, you know, so it's like, we keep getting, you know, the little threads and connections. So, I guess overall, we know that that's where this is going.
All right. Well, that's it for What's Sauce. So let's move on to Sad/Aw Sauce.
So Glennis from Toronto says, so it was wishful thinking on my part that Madison would be back, but still crossing fingers.
Oh, so I guess she was expecting that Madison was the one riding the trees. Yeah. I know a lot of people had thought that, that might have been the case.
But it was Madison.
Yeah, we all thought that, and we all wanted that.
But it ended up being Madison coming out of Alicia.
To some degree, yeah.
That's kind of how I got that. That was the last of our listeners' sad sauce, and so I'll go on to mine. Like the horse getting eaten by walkers. I mean, we've obviously seen it many, 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 many a times, or just things getting eaten. So I thought it's sad because it's like, oh, they always seem to get the poor animal that, you know, a horse should be able to run away. But I guess
that was a donkey.
I thought that was a bull or something like that.
That was like a donkey.
Maybe it was. I thought it was just a horse, just like, oh, it's a big animal that they're eating.
Thought it had horns.
Well, maybe it was a bull.
It was like a horse, but it was smaller.
Well, I'd have to a big animal, I guess.
I just differ.
I guess we'll have to go back and like look at it again. But I guess this is lead me to a question, and I don't know if this has been explained or, you know, if I totally forgot about it. Like, has it ever been explained why walkers need to eat? Like,
no.
I'm assuming it's more of just the reflex. It's not like they need it to keep going because, you know, we saw the one walker in the safe, and I'm sure that thing was in there for several years and it still was going. So, I mean, I just don't really remember. Or I completely just forgot.
I don't think it's ever been fully explained. Like, we know that it's the case, but I don't think it's ever been explained.
Okay.
No,
it popped in my mind after being like, oh, poor animal.
Like, this may have been one of the experiments that Troy worked on, but I think he was just kind of timing the how long it was taking people to reanimate. I don't remember any tests either he did or say, name? From the governor's Milton.
Oh yeah.
Said in any of his tests, and for that matter, I can't think of any other people that would have experimented on it, but I don't remember that ever really being explained. But it's just a thing.
Yeah. Well, it's
all Robert's fault. I blame him.
It's all just people that used to like sushi.
But I like sushi. Come on, man.
I was going to say, I love sushi. So, all right. So that's it for sad sauce. So I don't have anything really. Although I guess you could say maybe it's sad that this optimistic guy, Wes, became such a pessimist. So, okay, that's my sad sauce. let's move on to feedback.
We can talk about it.
We're done talking. Time to listen.
Our good friend Steve from Oklahoma City has voicemail.
Hello, Walking Dead Talker. This is Steve, and this is for You're Still Here. I like this episode better than last week, but there's still a few things that made me scratch my head. But I do, and I chuckled at that. Probably something I shouldn't have chuckled at was, what is Logan's tactic here? Is he just going to be annoying to them until they tell him where the oil fields are? And doesn't anybody know that there's a difference between diesel oil and unleaded, or like the gasoline that goes in your car? Are they manufacturing both? That whole scene with them blocking the roadway and just being like, no, we're going to stand here until you leave or go somewhere else. We're not going to fight. We're just going to stand here and look menacing at everybody. I mentioned in my weak sauce about the whole telling, you know, Al tells us about the bank manager. Morgan and Althea tell us they found a farm road. There was just a lot of telling in this episode instead of showing. And so that bothered me. And they were still too late to get there, even though they found the farm road. And why didn't Wes just tell them that he was the one painting the trees. Unless he wasn't the one painting the trees. Maybe it was his brother painting the trees. That's why the paint was in the motorcycle. But that doesn't make sense. Why wouldn't he just tell them? And unfortunately, I really don't care enough about this storyline to even go any further than this. So if we see Wes again, cool. Maybe he can answer that question. But he just, that was a lame part of the story to me. And then I mentioned this in another, to another podcast, but just this whole idea of that there's something bigger out there does have me intrigued enough to keep watching. I'll talk to you later.
Well, thank you again, Steve, for your voicemail. We get the Showcase Award. It's a brand new car.
or gas. No, but I totally agree with him, like, on the Logan and Company, because it's like they had Morgan and Al trapped, and, like, they have guns, and, like, couldn't they have taken them prisoner and used them to get their information? You know, just kind of, like, they were just like, oh, hi, yeah, give us our information. Oh, you're leaving? Okay, bye.
It is worth saying that I have heard and seen on the web some people talking about shipping of Wes and Alicia. I mean, I don't know. He seems way too cynical at this point for Alicia to be attracted to him. I mean, obviously she was attracted to the tree painter, but it seems like he's not the tree painter anymore. And I don't know. So,
yeah.
I mean, could you see that, those two?
No.
No.
Unless he, Alicia decides to go all to the dark side and just start going on a happy-go-lucky trip with Wes killing people.
or he, I don't know, somehow does an about turn and sees the bright side of life again. But I just don't know. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, then that just means that he's going to probably be killed.
That could be. All right. Anyway, thank you so much, Steve. Mark, you have the next bit of feedback.
So Glennis from Toronto says, a TW question asked by of Wes of how many people have you killed? And then that manuscript ending where it was revealed that Wes had been there, the tree signing artist. When paused on that page, it stated that, paraphrasing, Colin was worried, but looking around at these people left, it would be small groups of people that would carry on in this world. So I wonder if Wes' brother, or Wes's brother, was Colin, and that statement was something his brother always said of, if you're reading this, you are still here. As I say, it was a little confusing, plot and character-wise, this episode, but hopefully it will become clearer in the next few episodes. So Logan now has got all of Al's tapes, so I expect we can look forward to some more backstories, maybe, where he's playing them back. I'm really hoping that will happen, because that'd be awesome. And she continues on saying, this Fear the Walking Dead scrimping on budget with having a traveling caravan so they don't have to pay for a fixed abode and gives them the excuse of only concentrating on a few characters at a time. Yeah, well, yeah, they are skimping a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Which I find a little bit problematic.
Which The Walking Dead has done, but I don't know, it's the same gimply type of pattern. Of, like, it's one of those things. I mean, when we first got this kind of thing in season 4 of The Walking Dead, specifically, I think 4B, it was novel at the time. It was something we had never seen before. And now it just seems to be the normal. And I just think that it's a little too... This whole pattern of only seeing some of the characters each episode, not others, it's a little tiresome. It seems to be going is no matter who we're going to see each episode, we're going to see Morgan somehow.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He's everywhere.
She continues on saying, Fear the Walking Dead seems to have lost its way after the great start in last season 4 and up to the season in season 5. Just as well, they confirmed season 6 as this episode isn't going to do well ratings-wise. So I don't know how many eyes will continue to watching by the time we're into season 6. P.S. just saw that the rating for this episode's are up. That's good and surprising.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty surprising myself.
And then she continues saying, Fear the Walking Dead need to use their cast available in a better way and have John, Sarah Wendell, and Dwight, Lucia, and Charlie get much more screen time than they have currently been pretty much given. I suppose this goes to the budget consideration like The Walking Dead had in season 2 when they have the budget but doubled the episode count to 13, so the characters end up sitting around or walking around and doing lots of nothing.
I've been curious to know how that works, like the payment of actors, because as far as I know, if they're in the cast listing, they do get paid, but maybe they don't get their full pay. Maybe there's some kind of like base salary plus a per diem or something, and they don't get the per diem.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's a good question to
ask somebody.
Yeah. Again, it's probably something we won't find out about until 10 years from now.
Yeah. Like what they do with Star Trek? They had the After book that you were talking about last week.
Well, they had After Trek.
Yeah. They'll probably have After Walking Dead.
Well, After Trek is much like Talking Dead, but and now it's not anymore. They stopped that. So, but Chaos on the Bridge is what I was talking about. / the Deep Space Nine current documentary that just came out.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
And they say the money is being stretched even further now with the greedy, quote unquote, greedy. AMC having a third season plus the TWD movie trilogy, plus keeping the parent TWD still going relatively strong. It must give the showrunners of these various shows gray hairs to try and work around budget constraints and deliver a quality product. But I will still keep watching and hoping this was just one dud episode, and things will improve in the upcoming 5+ episodes left.
We shall see.
Yeah, we can only hope.
Yeah. I mean, I'm interested in this third series, but I'm also a little hesitant that when it comes out and we start watching it and reviewing it, that it's like, oh, here we go again. But yeah. I hope we're wrong, but we'll see.
And to that, I would say that we as a network will be covering it, or we as a Walking Dead Talk Through podcast will be covering it. I am not going to commit to covering it myself, though.
Yeah.
Because actually, I'm expecting there to be a collision with Star Trek for this series. So if that happens, I will not be covering it myself. Well, I will come on to guest, but I won't.
We'll do our best as far as to keep up with what's going on. But,
right.
You know, with at least somewhat I could say at least decent criticism based upon the show because of what we already have twice before. Because we already have The Walking Dead. We already have Fear of the Walking Dead. Now we're getting a third show. So we have to give this with a grain of salt and look at it innocently and just take it as it
is. Right. And, you know, like I say, we're going to cover it. It's just a question of how we're going to cover it and who's going to cover it.
Well, I'm definitely going to do it. All right. So I'll put it out there.
And I'm definitely not going to commit to doing it. So, but you know, that's fine.
Yeah. Well, it's still a ways away and yeah, we'll address that when it happens.
Yes.
All right. Well, I'll continue. Our next feedback comes from Dieta from Detroit. And she says, I feel so lost with the season. What was the purpose of this episode? Al hiding the tapes in an old bank safe? Why are they focusing on her and these damn stories of people she has come across, present company included? Yeah, so they know who they are. But what happened to the old-fashioned way of just talking to someone? Hell, Alicia spent a whole episode exploring her existence and talking to the motorcycle guy. And what did we learn? People are people. shrug. And now Alicia has the strength to kill again and knows who is painting the trees. Surprised it's not her mother. Motorcycle guy chases and kills a guy over a manuscript, then walks off. Alicia is finally back to killing, I guess. Oh, and she has a new set of skills. Tree painting. we've touched a little bit on this, and there was a lot of the people are people thing. I thought was just a nice, I guess, onslaught against Morgan's. You know, we're not doing right, or what? I have to look back. Yeah, you know, we're not doing right. We're doing. Right.
No, he says we're not doing careful.
Right. I was trying to think of it again. Yeah. But just his whole that thing to this guy's just like, nope. All right. Well, I'll just continue on with hers. She says, this show has turned to a philosophical zombie show. All this fine, the good in people. Help everybody and make friends, sit in a circle and sing kumbaya. Where is our surviving group and real apocalypse struggles like shelter, scavenging, fighting walkers, surviving, standing together to fight against bad groups? The Logan story is weak. He just keeps popping up and threatening everyone if they don't tell him where the oil fields are. By the way, what is an oil field? A field full of oil? How big is this group? I thought this season was going to be better, but I keep struggling with each episode trying to connect, but I can't. What's the purpose of them doing all this? They are taking too long to get to the punchline. Just tired of all the philosophical speeches, less speeches and more action.
Yeah.
I'm definitely in agreement there.
All right, so that's it for our listener feedback. So let's move on to our own episode notes. And doesn't look like Mark has anything. Kyle, what about you?
I'd like the whole tape decks that, you know, when Al and Morgan were at the safe and he's like, I'll go get the tape decks. So it's like confirmation that they have an editing system set up. I was glad after an annoying few episodes of Alicia being all messed up and that she can't kill anything, like even the dead, is like, you know, then going back to her now taking the weapon from Strand, like that scene. I was glad to see that she seems to be back, because I was getting really tired of this whole character arc that she's been on with her just, you know, issues. And also because, like we talked about, it's like we weren't just the way that they're portraying it and showing us. Or not showing us, like we've kind of had to just either, I guess, scratch our heads and be like, okay, I think it's about this. But it was just finally to see that this is kind of hopefully gone. And I took the cue in her taking her weapon back from Strand as finally the closing of that chapter of her story.
I hope so.
Yes. And the ending when she told everybody that she's not going to find what she's looking for from anybody else, like I just that like you know she's finding it in herself. Like I really really liked seeing that because I would say you know she's kind of on the path of like guess what she took from her mom.
Yeah.
And just that whole thing. And so like she's, you almost kind of could see it in her expression. So like she almost finally got that little, what, epiphany or light bulb moment, just being like, she understood and like knew that she was chasing the wrong thing. And, you know, the Madison inside her is coming out and then that's what's going to be taking her forward. And I really, really like that.
Yeah. I mean, the point where, you know, the, what she drew on the tree was the same kind of thing that Madison said, you know. So
and I guess the last part was just it was kind of I mean Morgan has his issues that I said before just about you know his struggle of getting over his child and you know wife but it was just good to see like you know Al was like at the end just telling Morgan to like tell like basically it's like well then tell me more about your wife and kid like Morgan's kind of they were talking about basically it's like these things don't define us but they also aren't the things that we should like I guess forget about you know they're just a part of us
yeah
and so him opening up and actually like letting at least some of that go of how you know how he reacts to that and actually you know saying that he's going to talk to Al about that. And I guess on tape, you know, it's like, again, I feel like Morgan's basically has had a therapy session with every single person he's ever met for years on end. And yet he still like is at this point, you even mention them or say anything off or whatever that's like, we know his little clear trigger can possibly still be there, but it just, you know, it's been going on for so long. So I'm glad to see possibly we're seeing that change and that's not going to be an issue anymore.
Hopefully. And hopefully, if Grace doesn't survive, I hope that he doesn't, regress, you know, but I do hope that he ends up with her, at the end of this season. Cause I think that would be good for him.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Or just if anything, like that he's faced his demons, so to speak, that like, even though we see Grace coming to her end, that he's not going to take that as like this whole, like, oh my gosh, the world is over. I don't need people, whatever, but like actually being someone there for her to comfort and like, you know, help move forward, you know, on. Like, I would love to see that instead of the whole dark, moody, you know, clear Morgan to see him finally.
Like, then he could finally clear
his mind.
Yeah, exactly.
Not people. No, I that's kind of what I'm saying. I just like, I would like to see that too. It's like people are going to die in this world, you know, it's like, and hopefully he can have that connection with Grace, but then be able to let her go.
Oh, don't want to see him let her go.
I know, but it's,
it may happen. Yes.
Yeah.
I just had a couple of things. One of the things I had listed down here, we already talked about. Although I will say that the Althea tapes are worth watching. There's a couple of interesting ones on there. We talked about Clark, but there's one, I can't remember her name, like Sonora or something like that. That was, starts with an S. She's a character unlike one we've seen before. I won't go into any details on this episode, but I thought that was an interesting one. And there were a couple other ones that I thought were really interesting too. So worth watching if you haven't done so already. But the Clark one is the one that fits into this episode. So Strand telling Alicia, "Don't tell him where we are," was a subtle reference, I thought, to Alicia telling Jack where they were on the boat in season two. Yeah. So that, again, makes me think that maybe there is a potential ship going on there between Wes and Alicia, you know, because, you know, she was interested in Jack, sort of, although she didn't end up with him, but certainly seemed to be some potential there. And we heard another term for the dead in this episode. Wes calls them eaters. That is something that I heard. And I thought, that's funny. We haven't heard that one yet.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, you don't have anything, Mark?
Nah.
Okay. All right. Well, with that, let's move on to news, ratings, and info. And I'm not, unlike the last couple of weeks, we do have some news.
What the hell is happening?
I have no idea.
All right. First, for ratings this week, I can actually say that The Walking Dead was up. Except that it wasn't The Walking Dead. It was Fear the Walking Dead.
Oops.
Anyway, Fear the Walking Dead was up this week. It got a 0.43 in the 18 to 49 with 1.435 million viewers. That is up from 0.38 and 1.368 million viewers last week. So, moderately up from last week. That's good. We haven't covered this story yet. Now we're into news. There have been four Walking Dead people that have appeared or are appearing in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And if you can't figure out who those are, of course, what's his face? Michael Rooker.
Ross Marquand.
Ross Marquand. I was going to say Michael Rooker for Guardians of the Galaxy 1 and 2. Was this a character's name Yondu? Is that it?
Yes.
Ross Marquand, who played Red Skull. Of course, Danai Gurira playing
Okoye
in Black Panther and the two latest Avengers movies. And I think she's going to be back for the next Black Panther movie.
Yes.
And, of course, John Bernthal played the Punisher in the two Netflix series or seasons. This was two, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
yes. Yeah. So now we have a fifth, and this brings certain questions because the next one is Lauren Ridloff, who of course plays Connie on The Walking Dead. And if this means she's going away, I'm going to be kind of sad about that because I kind of want to see her hook up with Daryl. So anyway, she is going to be in The Eternals and she is playing a character called Makari, who yes. I guess is going to be dramatically changed from the comics. The speed obsessed Flash like Makari in the comics was a man.
Yes.
And also, they are making this character deaf, which is a first. And I don't believe that that was something that was in the comics.
Nope.
So anyway, they're calling this cast one of the most diverse and most impressive in Marvel history. Leading the cast, I believe, is Gemma Chan. And I think she was in another one of the Marvel movies, I believe. But I know her best from the series Humans, which was on AMC.
Yes.
Camille Nanjiani, who I know from Silicon Valley, and he's been in lots of other stuff too. Brian Tyree Henry, Leah McHugh, Don Lee, Barry Kogan, and you know, none other than Angelina Jolie, Salma Hayek, and two Stark brothers from Game of Thrones, namely Kit Harington and Richard Madden. Who
yep.
Were, of course, Jon Snow and Robb Stark right?
Yes.
Okay. And it is directed by first female Asian director in the MCU, Chloe Zhu or Zhou. I don't know how to say that, but anyway. So that was announced. She came on stage at last week's D23 last week in the Disney conference that went on. And of course, there were lots of things announced at that, including trailers for the Mandalorian. And I know there was another trailer for the Rise of Skywalker. So several things going on there.
A lot of Marvel stuff that we'll actually talk about on Pals and Pixels. So stay tuned.
Stay tuned. We have another cast member announced for the new spinoff of, you know, The Walking Dead, the one that is supposed to take that we were talking about earlier, supposed to be airing in the spring. Joe Holt has joined that cast, taking on the recurring role of Leo Bennett, a family man and professor who would risk his life to save those he cares about. And he has been in The Punisher, K-Pax, Far From Heaven, and did some the video game Batman Arkham City. So another story, I didn't see the actual amount, but apparently the FCC fined AMC for the use of the emergency broadcast tone. And if I'm not mistaken, that was probably during the flashback of Alpha that we saw in 9B. I'm not exactly sure what episode that was from.
Yes.
But I think that was the inciting
it was part. The beginning of
right.
the whole thing that right. was going on, where Alpha and her daughter and her husband were involved. So
right.
yeah. Yeah. Right. They got fined for that because it was they feel that it's illegally used to use that tone. Because
yeah.
it falsifies any emergency. Because if it's on a TV show or anything, it's not proper.
And apparently the Jimmy Kimmel show was also fined for the same thing.
Yes.
So anyway, I don't know how much each show was fined, but both shows were apparently fined. This next bit could be spoilery. And there isn't an official announcement, but it's one of those, you know, trade paper type of things that came up. So keep this in mind. Christian Siratos is apparently in negotiations to portray the singer Selena in a scripted
Selena Quintanilla.
Right. In a scripted series for Netflix. And I believe that has a 2-season plan for this. So it would be, you know, like a 2-season show. And apparently, at least according to the Hollywood Reporter that I read this on, negotiations have come down to scheduling issues between it and The Walking Dead. So, I mean, if there are scheduling issues, maybe that means that she will stay on The Walking Dead. And that is kind of a good thing potentially, but, you know, we have seen other characters or other, actors that have had announcements similar to this where, Sasha,
and they've moved on. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And even John Bernthal, there was an announcement like this, in season 2, which I never heard of that announcement until, after the fact, but apparently there was an announcement for him that he was joining up with something. Anyway, so again, it doesn't necessarily mean that she's leaving or that she's going to be killed off, but you know, like it could mean that. So
Well, we should all just take this with a grain of salt and just say, honestly, if you people don't want to know, spoilers ahead, give it 3 seconds. 1, 2, 3. Rosita is on the show has already surpassed her character's time. So if they continue on with Kristen Serratos to continue on with the Rosita character, that would be great. I'm hoping towards the end of the year because I love her in the character, and they've done so much more with the character in the show than they have within the comic. Give it a little bit, and I love the character. I love Kristen Serratos, and more power to her to taking on Selena Quintanillas and just portraying that particular icon in music. You know, I love music too, just like Brian does. And, you know, they've already done a movie with Jennifer Lopez. So now they're just going to make it a long stretched show or movie at this point on Netflix. So I think hopefully they could do it, you know, justice with the show. And, you know, I just wish her the best, and I want to see more of Kristen.
Getting a Netflix show is not a bad thing.
Yeah. And one thing worth mentioning that Kristen Serratos is already older than Selena when she died. So,
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I looked that up just to see. Yeah. She was almost 24 when she died.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, she was, I don't think it's, well, unless you are sensitive to be spoiled about the comic book, I guess, you know, treat it accordingly. But wasn't she one of the ones that was on the pikes?
Yes.
I thought so.
And the funny thing is she surpassed that. And in the show, she has a baby, which that didn't even come to any right. point at that point.
Right.
You know.
All right. Well, that's it for our news, ratings, and info. So, Kyle, why don't you tell people how to interact with us?
All right. If you want to interact with us, we want to encourage you to follow us on Twitter. And you can find us at Walking Dead GSM. To submit your theories and feedback, most people post in our designated episode thread and in our Facebook group. And you can find us at facebook.com/groups/WalkingDeadGSM. We also like to encourage you to use our new email address, and that is walkingdeadtalkthrough@gmail.com. If you use the old email, walkingdeadgsm@gmail.com, that still works. And, you know, we'll still get, you know, any feedback or anything that you email on that. We also have our new feedback form, and it is at talkthroughmedia.com/feedback. And you can also call us on 216-236-5449. And this is temporary. We will hopefully have a number, you know, set up, you know, that's dedicated. But you can call there to leave feedback. And also the deadline for the next episode is set for a regular day and time. And that's 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central on Tuesday, September 3rd. And we also have a Facebook page for our network, and you can find that at facebook.com/talkthroughmedia.
Yeah. And you can leave us a review there. So, that would be helpful for other people to find us. And, that is a brand new page, and there's very few people at this point that have checked that out. So we would appreciate it if you could like us there. And, you know, if you want to write us a review there, that would be great, but definitely like us there so more people can find the network, because that's brand new. Just within the last week and a half. The best way to support us that you can do, aside from what I just said on the Facebook page, is you can subscribe to us in Apple Podcasts or the podcast client of choice. While you're there, give us a rating review. Or if your podcast client will allow you to send a review there or comments on us. Those are things that are helpful. One app that I was exposed to in the past week, just trying to troubleshoot things. Castbox, that is something that also lets you post comments to us. So that'd be great if you can, if you use Castbox to post us a comment. So helps people find us. The Star Trek Discovery Podcast at StarTrekDiscoveryPodcast.com is part of the Talk Through Media Network now completely. That feed has been switched over as well. So if you are listening to us on GoldenSpiralMedia.com, please stop. Because on both podcasts, we will be posting exclusively now on Talk Through Media. So if you were subscribed to us, your feed should continue. Obviously, if you're listening to us now, your feed is now pointed to the new place. But it's worth saying that maybe not everybody has moved over to us. But one thing that we've done is we've put in links on all of the GSM posts to link over to the new site where we are continuing to run this podcast and our others. So anyway, Star Trek Discovery Podcast.com, I mentioned, and Facebook.com/group/Star Trek Discovery Podcast. The Picard podcast, when it is launched, will also use that group at the same time. We'll probably rename it. But it will also use that Facebook group. And I mentioned last week that that podcast has a new Patreon at patreon.com/Brian and Ruthie. We have not reached our goal yet to start our call-in shows. I was hoping we were going to do that this month, but probably because we haven't let everyone listening to us know about the Patreon group, because we haven't released an episode yet to let people know, we didn't reach that goal. So, or it looks like we're not going to reach that goal, but hopefully next month we will. And the Star Trek Picard podcast is coming soon. We have spent some time over the past week with looking at artwork and trying to find a music for this. And one thing that we were both thinking of is we would use something with a flute, and because of course, Picard and the inner light, of course, but that did not work out very well. So the search for music still continues. So hopefully we will have that soon. Mark, what's going on with Panels of Pixels?
Well, you could hear me on Panels to Pixels with Steve Brown, who actually you've heard with his audio and his feedback tonight. And we're continuing on with Preacher. And we're going to do season 4, episode 6, coming up this Sunday. So I kind of neglected this past weekend because it was my birthday weekend and I did not post the live feed. So if you guys want to send some sort of feedback, you're more than welcome to on the Panels to Pixels podcast.com, which will lead you to our Facebook group, which you could just easily leave a comment on and just post your theories and thoughts on last week's episode or even on this week's episode when it comes up. And we will read them just as much and try to poke Brian or Kyle to actually be on the show, because, yeah, we could use some people.
Yeah, I was hoping to get to the to catch up on Preacher this week, but it did not happen. So
he's been busy.
Yes, and I've been busy.
We applaud him for everything that he's been doing for this and the network and for everything that's going on with this podcast itself. So, yeah, so, there'll be a time when Brian will be on and we'll have fun.
and I will have sleep.
Yes.
And by the way, happy birthday, Mark.
Thank you.
Yes.
All right. Next episode, season 5, episode 12. And I do not know if I'm going to get this pronunciation correct, but I will try. Ner Tamid. I believe that is Hebrew.
Yes.
This, I don't know who's written or directed it, but the description is as follows. In search of a permanent home for the convoy, Charlie is drawn to a synagogue where she encounters a rabbi surviving on his own. Sarah and Dwight face unexpected foes.
Rabbi Gabriel?
So until next time, I'm Brian.
And I'm Kyle.
And I'm Mark.
And this is Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.